Hi, I'm Andrew Connell, and welcome to the module on Authentication with the Partner Center SDK. This is the second module in our course. What are we going to cover in this module? We're first going to do a quick overview on Azure Active Directory. And we're going to talk a little bit about getting set up to manage your Azure AD tenant. We talked a little bit about it in the first module of the course, but I'm going to show you a little more detail on some screenshots here. Then we're going to talk about Azure AD applications, understand what these are, and then how we can do authentication with Azure AD. We're going to look at it in a little more depth than what we've done so far. Then we're going to talk about two different application types that we can create. One that allows us to authenticate using user plus app authentication, and then one also using app-only authentication. And we'll talk about when the scenario makes the most sense to use one of these two different options. And then lastly, we're going to talk about some of the OAuth flows. Now, I'm not going to dive too deep into these, but we do need to understand what options are available to us in creating our applications and what is supported by the Partner Center SDK. So first, let's dive into Azure Active Directory. Azure Active Directory, as we talked about a little bit before, is the single source of truth for all user and application authentication and authorization in Microsoft Azure and other dependent properties, such as Partner Center and Office 365. It is a repository for users in the sense that the traditional sense of Active Directory that you may be familiar with on premises, it's going to store users, their credentials, and some detailed profile information about those users. But one of the nice things about Azure AD is that it also is a repository for applications that we can register. Now, it's going to store the information about those applications, right? So some authentication and credential information, permissions, and some other settings about the application that you may need to have for your custom development environment. We also have a concept of Azure AD tenants, and think about a tenant as an individual directory. So every customer in the most like atomic sense, each customer like Contoso or Fabricam or Wingtip Toys, each one of those customers would have their own Azure AD tenant. Well, when you get set up as a partner, you have a partner tenant, and that's where all of your users are going to live inside of that directory. People like sales agents, admin agents, and help desk agents, stuff like that. You're also going to have a partner integration sandbox, and that's like your developer instance of your Partner Center account that you can use for your custom application development and creating customers and subscriptions, but not worrying about any commerce-related activities that are going to happen associated with those, like getting billed for those different resources. You also have a customer tenant. So when you create a new customer, they're given an Azure AD tenant where all of their users will reside and where the Office 365 subscriptions will be based on, same with your Azure resources. You have different roles inside of these different tenants related to Partner Center. We have admin agents, and those admin agents have the availability or the ability to do everything. You have sales agents who can create subscriptions and orders and do things like that. And then you have help desk agents, where they have the permissions to be able to create things like support tickets and monitor support tickets for partners, for the partner itself, but then also look at customer support requests as well at the time that customers can only create their own support tickets. And then you can also do license assignment within Azure AD as well. Now, how do we manage our Azure AD tenants? Well, initially, a partner cannot access the tenant that was been given to them when they were onboarded in the CSP program. You can't get to the administration interface. And the reason for that is because the web management for Azure AD tenants is only available through the Azure management portals, which is the which is only available through Azure subscriptions, either an existing one or a new one. So the first thing is you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get access to your partner's Azure AD tenant. Now this process seems a little complicated, but it actually is fairly straightforward. Now, the way you're going to go through and manage your Azure AD tenants is through one of the Azure management portals. Now, today, at the time of the recording, only the Azure management portal at https://manage.windowsazure.com gives you the web interface for managing your Azure AD tenants. In the future, it will be available on the primary portal, which is portal.azure.com. That's one of the services that is still not available in the new portal, but it will be available in the new portal in the coming future. Now, in order to manage or to get into the portal, you're going to have a valid Azure subscription to log in. And like I said before, initially, partners aren't going to be able to get to their tenants, their Azure AD tenants. They're going to have to first associate it with an Azure subscription. So how are you going to do that? Well, to associate your subscription, you're going to need a valid Azure or to, let me say that again, to access your partner AD tenant, you're going to need to associate it with an Azure subscription so that you can log into the Azure portal to get to that Azure AD tenant. Now, this is going to also be the case for not only just your partner accounts, but also your Integration Sandbox account as well, your test account. Now, the association process is pretty straightforward. What you're first going to do is log into an Azure subscription or create a new subscription and then log into it using a Microsoft account that's the global administrator for that Azure subscription. You're then going to go into the Azure AD section of the management portal and say, I want to add a new directory to my Azure subscription. You're going to give the option to either create a new tenant or new directory or use an existing directory or tenant. You're going to pick the add existing directory or tenant. Azure is then going to prompt you to log in using the global administrator for that tenant that you've just told it that you want to go through and you want to use. And when it does that, it will then add in the account for your global administrator for your Azure subscription, the Microsoft account, as a global administrator to your Azure AD tenant for your partner center. What you'll then be able to do is then in the future, when you log into Azure using that Microsoft account that's tied to your Azure subscription, then you'll be able to manage your Azure Azure AD directory associated with your partner account. Okay? Now, it seems a little complicated. It actually isn't that complicated. You're basically just logging in with a subscription, telling it to add in this directory, and then from that point forward, you'd have access to it through the web interface. You can see this in action in another video on the Microsoft Virtual Academy called Onboarding with CSP Partner SDK at the link here that's available on the slide. Just keep this in mind. You only have to do this one time when you get set up as a partner, okay? You can actually have multiple Azure subscriptions have access to this directory as well. So if you're on a team of developers and all of you need to have access to your Integration Sandbox account and that directory, you can add in each one of the different subscriptions to it. It's not a problem. So let me show you what this looks like. The visuals may help you a little bit here when we look at the slides. So here I've already logged into an Azure subscription. Now, granted, I don't have to pay for anything for this subscription. The subscription is free. It's not, you're only going to pay for stuff in an Azure subscription once you actually add resources to it. Azure Active Directory is free. The part that we use for Partner Center is completely free. There is a premium edition, but we don't need that for Partner Center. That's just a value add thing. So here I've selected Azure AD inside the Azure Management Portal, and what I'm going to do is click on the new button in the bottom left. What that's going to do is open up this little gutter thing at the bottom. I'm showing you screenshots because my tenants have already been registered to do this, so I can't do it for a second time. I only need to do it one time. I'm going to pick directory as the option in the middle there and then say I want to do a custom create. Now, I'm logged in with a Microsoft account for this Azure subscription. And so what it's doing is it's going to give me an option to either pick an existing directory or use a new directory. If I had logged in with an Azure AD account into an Azure subscription, I would only see the option for a new Azure directory. I would not see, as you see it here, the use existing directory. Okay, so if I only have one option, you need to make sure you log in with a Microsoft account, an MSA, so formerly known as like a Live ID. You need to log in with that account that's got a global admin access to your Azure subscription. Now, I'm going to pick use existing directory. I'm going to see in the text there where it says we will need to sign you out and have you sign in again as a global administrator of that directory. So I'm going to check the box, say I'm ready to be signed out. It's going to sign me out of my Microsoft account. It's going to prompt me to authenticate. I'm going to go to Azure AD and log in just like I normally do. And then it's going to redirect me right back into the Azure Management Portal, and this box is going to show up. And it's going to say, hey, you logged in with the global account for the directory test CSP tip 1. Do you want to make the Microsoft account, and I've blurred it out there, but that's the Microsoft account that I had originally logged in with. It says, do you want to make that account a global admin in that directory? And when I click continue, it will then go through and add that user so that then when I log in using my Azure subscription, using that Microsoft account, I will see that directory showing up in the list of all my directories in Azure AD. Okay, so we only have to do that one time. Now, we also have a walkthrough of how you can go about doing this in the lab that's available or in the all of this in this course that's available up on GitHub. It's just github.com/partnercentersamples/training-course. Now let's talk a little bit about Azure AD applications. Now, Azure AD applications, any application that's going to authenticate with Azure AD must be registered within the Azure AD tenant. This includes console applications, web applications, services, etc. So in the case of Partner Center, if I want to create a shopping cart and let people go through and create a new customer account and then order place an order for Azure and maybe 50 licenses for Office 365, I'm going to create my website to be that shopping cart application to do all of that work for me, and it's going to have to be registered with Azure AD. Now, in Azure AD, applications can be assigned credentials. Now, every app is going to have an ID. So it's got a client ID, and you can think of that as like the username or password for a user account. If the application is set up to be also have its own authentication, it may have a secret associated with it as well. So if it doesn't have an interactive prompt with the user, like in a native application for like, say I was doing a PowerShell interface or a console app, if it was a web application, I'd also want to have a secret associated with it. I'll show you where you can get to that in just a few minutes. These are going to be created and managed within the Azure portal. So they're also managed using PowerShell, or they can also be managed using the cross-platform command line interface that Azure provides as well. You can see some information about the different ways of doing this stuff and the setting up applications at the link here that we have on the slide. Now, let's talk about Azure AD in the context of Partner Center. Now, Partner Center, the Partner Center dashboard does have the ability to onboard Azure AD applications. And there's two different ways we can do this. First, I can use it to create a new Azure AD application from within Partner Center. So I don't even have to go to Azure AD in the Azure management portals and create a new application. The Partner Center dashboard can do this for me. Now, at the time of the recording, it's limited to just building web applications. If you want to do a native application, that's not supported by Partner Center. However, with that being said, another option that you have within Partner Center is to register existing Azure AD applications. And with that, I could onboard a native application that I had registered in the Azure AD management portal. So I'll show you how to do both of these in just a few minutes. Now, what does that do? Why do I need to onboard our application with Partner Center? What that's going to do is it's going to do a couple different things. First, it's going to register the application as a single tenant application with Partner Center and make it so that that application can talk to the Partner Center REST endpoint. It can do that both with app only and app plus user scenarios. It also is going to add the Partner Center role and scope to the Azure AD application. So if I did not use Partner Center and I did this through Azure AD, I would have to find the Azure AD I would have to go into Azure AD, I would have to create my application, and then in the permissions section, I would have to go find the Partner Center API as a role, and then I would have to give it, check off the scope, or otherwise known as a permission, of what this application could do with that API. It's a tedious process. I'm going to show you how to do it manually in just a second so you can appreciate what the Partner Center dashboard is going to do for you. It's also going to go about granting the app that you've registered admin consent to that Partner Center tenant, which what that means is it's going to allow that app to work independently of any user. So it could be good for app-only scenarios, so like daemon services or services that don't have any user interaction. Now, let's talk about the two different kinds of permissions, and then we'll talk about two different types of configurations for our apps. First, let's talk about delegated permissions. What are these? So when I create an app in Azure AD, I can give it delegated or application permissions. A delegated permission says this app has the ability to do stuff on behalf of a user, provided that user also has those permissions. So let's think about it like outside of this whole technical space. If I have the ability to drive a car, I have to give that application the ability to drive that car on my behalf as well. And so that application has to have drive the car as a valid permission. So when a user logs in and a user goes to use that application and it goes to obtain a token for that to use that application, Azure AD is going to check to see if that user has consented those permissions to the application already in the past. And if it hasn't, it's going to take the user through what's called the common consent framework, which is going to show the user a little prompt and say, this application, that's registered at this URL and has this ID wants these permissions. Do you grant it access to do those things on your behalf? That's what a delegated permission is, okay? As for the development experience, when you go through and register these applications, you may be wondering, why didn't I get that common consent prompt? Well, if you log in and create the application using your account and you go to log in with that same account to use that application, you've already granted it consent when you created it. So you can see that consent's there. You'll see there's a section within apps where you can say assign and unassign users, and that's how that's when the consent is being granted or the user's getting access to it. The user must have the permissions that the app is requesting in the delegated permission. So I can't give an app the permissions to do stuff that I don't have permissions to do on my behalf. That would be a big loophole. So we can't do something like that. This is going to be very useful, and actually it's the only way of doing it, with an app plus user authentication scenario. So like, for example, we'll create a native app that does this. Now, the other option is an application permission. And an application permission is saying, I want that app to have permissions to do stuff irrespective of any user being involved. Now, that's great for things like when I don't know a user that's logged in. For example, in the context of Partner Center, if I have a shopping cart application and I want to create a new customer, I don't know who the user is. So I can't ask them to log in because they don't have an account that exists. So I need a website that can act on its own, log into Partner Center for me, I can create an account for me, maybe or pass in some orders or some subscriptions for Office 365 or an Azure subscription for that customer, but I don't want to have to log in as a user. I want to be able to log in as an app to do those things. And then once that's done, then the user could log in and actually interact with their subscription. So it's going to be good for a scenario that I just gave you, or if you have something that like runs every single night to check for things with customers or check for usage data, you don't want to have to put in a username and a password and log in every time that application runs. Application permissions or an application scenario means that it can log in and do stuff on a service or schedule basis on its behalf, on its own. Another concept we have is single-tenant and multi-tenant applications. This topic, I find, confuses people a lot, but I think it's very, very straightforward. Think about it like this. I'm a partner, and let's say I work for Contoso. So my partner is Contoso, and we sell Office 365 and Azure subscriptions to anybody in the world. I have an application that I've created that's a shopping cart application, it's a website, and I want my users to come in and use this application. Now, if I only want people from my organization, Contoso, to log in and use this application, I'm going to make that a single-tenant app. So the application is registered in the Contoso Active Directory and Contoso Azure Active Directory, but only users from Contoso can authenticate and use that application. However, if I wanted anybody to use that application, so someone, say, from Wingtip or from Fabricam, if I wanted one of them to be able to use this application, then what they would have to do, then I'd have to do is I set that application up as a multi-tenant app. All that does is it says users in other AD directories can log into their directory, use this application, and grant this application access back to my tenant. Okay? This is great for companies that are doing things like a software as a service-based offering or an ISV. They want to define the application and let other customers use that application. However, you may have it to where you have an application that you only want your employees to use. That's single tenant. If you want anybody to use it, that's multi-tenant. Let's look at a diagram of this to make it a little bit easier to understand. In this diagram, I've got three triangles. Those are three different individual entities. Each one of those is an Azure AD tenant. At the top, you see I have Wingtip. Wingtip is my partner account. Contoso is a customer. Fabricam is a customer. You see, each one of these have their own directory. They each have their own users. They each have their own resources. They each have their own Azure AD apps. Now, users inside of Wingtip can log in and use my Azure AD apps, just like users can log in and use their own Azure AD apps inside of Contoso or inside of Fabricam. These apps can then interact with and do things with those different resources inside that same directory that trusts those applications. Same thing is true for these other our customer tenants as well. Now, what's interesting about this, though, is that these applications in these different customer pieces cannot go through and interact with across directories. So here, my Azure AD app and my partner tenant can't interact with the resources in Contoso or Fabricam, nor can the users in Contoso or Fabricam log in and use those applications. This is single tenant. As you see there, those red X's say you can't cross tenants, right? Multi-tenant, though, does allow you to do that. Multi-tenant does say, yes, this app can cross over different tenants. You don't whitelist the tenants. You don't say which tenants can use it and can't use it. It basically just is it's a switch. It's a bit flag that says this application can be used by external directories. If you wanted to filter that down, if you wanted to control and keep this application only work with specific directories or specific customers, then you'd code that into your application and say it only works with these different directories. Okay, let's do a demo and let's create an Azure AD application and let's see how this works. Now, I'm going to jump over to my browser here. And what I'm going to do is let's just set the stage here. We're going to create an Azure AD application. I'm going to do it as a native application, and I want to show you what the full experience looks like. Keep in mind that some of this is going to be a lot easier for us once we switch over to Partner Center. So I'm going to go to manage.windowsazure.com. And what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to authenticate to a using an account that has access to an Azure subscription that has access to my different directories. So I'll do that by going here. This is a personal account or an MSA account is another way to look at it. I will have it go ahead and log in using my password. And then I have to use my two-factor authentication. So I'll plug in a code that just showed up on my phone. And then I'll log me into Azure AD and take me into my Azure subscription. Now, I've got a lot of different resources here, so we're going to just jump straight down to the Azure section, which is right here, to the Azure Active Directory section. I'll select this and just have to wait while the Azure Management Portal is loading all the different resources and is loading in the Active Directory piece as well. And it's going to show a list when I click on this. It's going to show a list of all of the different directories here that I have access to, that this subscription has access to. So I can see my directory right here as Andrew Connell Inc. You can see I have another one. And then all of these other test and Sierra Cloud, all these other directories are different Azure directories that I've added to this subscription I have access to. I'm going to go over here to this one called 57. And you can see here I have a list of a handful of different users that I've added. I'm going to come over here and click on my applications and see a list of all the applications that my company uses. I'm going to switch this filter over to applications my company owns and click this little check mark. And I can see I have two applications that I've created. Now I want to create one. I want to create a new native application. So what I'm going to do is come over here and say, let's add a new native application. So here I can add an application my organization is developing. So I'll select that and I'll give it a name. I'll just call this My First Native App 01. And I'm going to select it's a native client application. I come down here and click on this little arrow. I have to give it a redirect URL. This isn't really important because I would be using this in the context of, say, a console application. So I'll just call it localhost 1234. And I'll click check. Azure AD is now going to go ahead and create the application. Now, we get this little, let's get rid of some of the stuff at the bottom here. And you see here that I have my applications be created right here. Now, I'm going to uncheck this skip the quick access thing because I actually do want that check because I don't want to see this again. And I'm going to come over here to the dashboard. It gives me a little bit of information about my app. I really am interested, though, in the configure tab. So what do I see here? I see my client ID. There's the GUID for my application. So if you just keep that in mind, it's 0BF27. Let's just keep that and we'll file that away. I'm going to scroll down a little bit here. What else do I see? I see my redirect URL. I see a logo that I can use, and I see permissions to other applications. As you see here, I only have access to Azure Active Directory. What I want to do is I want to add in access to Partner Center. So I'm going to click on Add an Application. Now here, it's not listed as all the different options here. So if I come over here and I picked All Apps, and I want to then go through and do a search for it. Well, it's not going to show up in the search specifically. So I actually have a little GUID here that I'm going to look up, which is the ID of this application. If you're wondering now, wait a minute, how can I get that ID? Don't worry, it's actually in the course itself, in the hands-on labs and in the demos if you want to take a look. So I'm going to filter by that, and I'll see that it says Partner Center. So I will check Partner Center and then click the check mark down here to add it to our application. The little purple indicator on the left says that I've made changes that I haven't saved yet. I'm going to come over here and pick the permission, access the Partner Center environment, and then I'm also going to come over here and I'm going to say I want to access the directory as the signed in user right here, and then I'll say come down here and click save to save my changes. And then now I will be given my, I'll have my application. Ta-da. So now my application's been set up. Now, that's the full process of doing this with Azure Active Directory. Let's jump over and let me show you how to do the same thing with Partner Center. So I'm going to come over here to the Partner Center at Microsoft.com, and I'm going to log in using my Partner Center account, which is my admin for my 57 account. All right, now that we're logged in, let's come back and let's look at the application settings. And if I click on API, what this will show me is the application that is currently registered with Partner Center. So in this case here, you see it's listed as Partner Center API, and it's got an ID of 9148. Well, what is this? Well, if I jump back over to the Azure Management Portal, and if I come back to my directory, and I see Partner Center API, if I select this one, what you'll see is that this is the application. There's my 9148. If I come back over here to Azure, or to my Partner Center, there's my 9148. So this application is the one that's registered currently with Partner Center, all right? Now, I can do everything from here that I really need, that I'm gonna need to do. I can come over here and work with the key management by creating new keys for my application that I would need. Those are different secrets. I can do that thing. I can do it from here, and I can also do it from the Azure Management Portal. If I scroll down, you see here, there's where those same keys are listed, all right? It already has also been granted all the permissions that we need. Now, what I wanna do is I wanna show you how I could go through and onboard an existing application that I already have created. So here I'm gonna unregister this application. And all this does is just inside Partner Center just says, let's just clear out the field that says which app is registered with Partner Center. And here I can either create a new app with the default settings, or I can register or onboard an existing app. So there's the app that we created just a minute ago, my first native app 01. Let me do something just to show you, just to hammer home a point that's gonna happen. Let's actually delete this permission that we have for a Partner Center from our, not this one. Let's back up. Let's come over here to my first native app. And let's come over here to configure and scroll down and let's delete Partner Center and let's remove this access directory as signed in user. Save our changes. All right, so now we're looking at our native application without Partner Center has been added to it. So what I'm gonna do is come back over here, over into right here, and I'm gonna pick my first native app 01 and pick register app. That is now onboarding my native application that I just created in Azure AD. So there's that ID we just saw, 0BF27. There are no keys associated with this one because a native app doesn't have any keys. If I come back over here to Azure AD, and if I refresh this page, what we should see is the Partner Center API permission scope and permission should have been added to our application. Okay, here's our app. So remember, we're 0BF27. And now let's just scroll down a little bit. And we should see our permission will get added. Let's come back and let's just refresh this again, our first native app. Oh, one of that didn't work that time. So let's do this. Let's create a new application here. Let's delete this one and let's try that again. So I'll come over here. And now let's create a new app. So I'll add an application my organization's developing. This is my second native app. Say it's a native application. Say okay, the redirect doesn't really matter. So we'll do HTTP localhost 12345. There we go. So now we come over here on the configure our application. Now our ID is F0DC. So scroll down and we see nothing listed down here. So let's come back over here to Partner Center. We'll unregister this application. Let's come back over here to API. Let's back up overview, account settings, API. And we will pick my second native app and hit register app. Oh, and something went wrong. So we're having a little bit of a problem with our native app right now. That's okay. Everything, when we do create this app, it would actually go through and it would register our application. Let's try instead now. Let's go through and let's create a new app with our default settings. So I'm going to say register an app. And this is going to create a new web application for us. So here we go. We just created a new one and it created as Partner Center API 1. So we see 9D40D. All right. So, and we can see that we don't have any, we do have one key associated with it. Now you would want to grab that key and make sure that you create a copy of it, because once we leave this page, you will never be able to get that key again. Okay. So we're not going to use this one. We're going to have another app that we're going to use, but let's go back over to Azure and see what actually got created. So I'm going to come back over here to my directory and let's refresh this page. Let's refresh this view. Occasions use, we don't want this ID up here. And let's do the one that we own. There we go, and here's the one that was just created, Partner Center API 1. And if we scroll down, we see we're using the same ID there, 94. And if I scroll down a little bit further, you can see there's the key, and it's already gone through and onboarded it with Partner Center. So you can see I have the permission already set up. So the Partner Center is going to make it a little bit easier to onboard applications, both in creating new web applications and in registering native applications. So let's jump back to our slides. And let's continue on with authentication with Azure AD, and let's talk about this concept. Now, authentication with Azure AD, the way that this works is that the Partner Center SDK is protected by Azure AD. All HTTP requests that we make must include a valid OAuth2 access token in the header. So what does that mean? When you make a REST call, it's an HTTPS call, and you're going to need to have an authorization header, request header, with the value of bearer space, and then the base64 encoded JWT token. That's JWT for a JavaScript web token, but it's pronounced or a JSON web token, but it's pronounced JOT. Now, the authentication process, how is this going to work? It's a two-step authentication. What you need is a token, an OAuth token, that has been granted access to the Partner Center SDK. But to get that, you have to authenticate and establish your identity. So step one is going to be to first authenticate as a user via Azure AD and obtain your access token. Then you're going to use that to make a request to the Partner Center API, to his endpoint, and say, I'm authenticated, here's who I am, I need a token for Partner Center. And Partner Center will turn around and give the token back to you. All right, so let's look at what the code looks like here. So in this case here, I'm first going to go through and set up the authority. So there's my Azure AD authority. And it's the the authority here is coming from something inside of like a web config or an app config file. That authority is either going to be https login.microsoftonline.com. That's the newer endpoint. The older endpoint is login.windows.net. I'm then going to use something called the Azure Active Directory Authentication Library, ADAL, to obtain user credentials. So I'm first going to go through and get the user's username and password and create a new user credential object. And then I'm going to create an authentication context. That's coming from the Azure AD library. For this, I'm creating authentication context using the authority's root URL. And then I'm going to say, go log in. So that first login, I'm going to say auth context dot acquire token async. I'm going to pass in a couple things. First, I have to pass in the API endpoint that I want an access token for. So in this case, I'm passing in the Partner Center's endpoint. I'm also going to say I need the client ID, what application, what Azure AD app is doing the authentication. And then third, who's authenticating? So I'm passing in my credentials. That will give me back the authentication result. And that authentication result is going to contain the access token for that user and when it expires. The authentication token object is an object coming from the Partner Center SDK. That's why I have it colored differently. I'm going to create a new instance by passing in the token and the expire on to get the auth token. Here's what this process looks like if I use something called Fiddler, which is an HTTP debugging proxy. This is using the exact same thing that we just did a second ago. The second line that I have highlighted there is what's doing the authentication with Azure AD. So I'm authenticating, passing in the resource. You see there, it's api.partnercenter.microsoft.com. I'm passing in the ID of the application that I want to authenticate with. I'm passing in a grant type equal to password. I'm passing in the username and password. I've changed those values so you can't see what my username and password is. And the scope is OpenID. So that's a flow that I want to get back. That's a certain ID value that I want to get back. You see the response at the bottom is going to give me back an access token. It's going to also give me back an ID token and a refresh token. The access token is what I use to authenticate with Azure AD in the future or when I want to go talk to Partner Center. The ID token is some information about me. Let's see what these values look like. Here's the access token that once I pass the access token over to the Partner Center and I get a token back from Partner Center, here's what the token actually looks like. So I just took that base64 encoded string that I got back and I went to a JOT decoder. I just went on to a search engine, searched for JWT decode. I pasted the value in, not the access token equals part, but just the actual base64 encoded string, and it decoded, and it says, hey, the ISS, that value says, here's the issuer of the token. It was the Partner Center. The IAT says, when was it issued? The NBF says it's not valid before this date. That's the number of seconds past, I think, January 1st, 1970. Expires says it expires on this date. Couple other things here. You can see how did you authenticate? That's the AMR. I authenticate using a password. Maybe I could have also authenticated using two-factor auth. That would be listed here as well. The app ID, that's the Azure AD app that was registered for this app to authenticate. You see there's some information about me, family name, given name, the name of the actual group that I'm in, the IP address, a bunch of other information as well. But you see, I get a little bit farther down, and Partner Center has added additional stuff to this token, like this is a global administrator, he's an admin agent, and he also is an application registration administrator. So he's the one that registered the application. And you see a little bit farther down, there's other things that we have, like is this person a reseller? Do they have admin privileges? And then what was their original user token that they got from Azure AD? The last bit there is also very important. It's the audience, and it says this token is only valid for this particular endpoint. So that if I tried to get a token for a different endpoint and using its Partner Center would say, sorry, this doesn't work for us. Think about it as like a key and trying to get into the door to your house. I can get a key, but that key, the intended audience, is my house. If I try and use my key on your house, it's not the intended audience. And so your house's deadbolt lock says, sorry, it's not gonna work. It's not that smart, but it just won't work. Here's what this other token we got back, the OpenID token. And this one has a little more information about the individual that actually logged in. You see here it has my name in there, also has my unique name and my email address. This is just some additional information that you could use to save yourself the time from having to go over to the Azure AD Graph endpoint to get information about who the person was that just logged in. Okay, two more topics to talk about. First, authentication types. Let's talk about user plus app authentication first. Now, user plus app authentication, this is when a user is going to authenticate with their partner Azure AD tenant credentials to use in the application. It's going to leverage delegated permissions, which means that, as I've talked about before, the user has given the app permissions to do things on their behalf. It's required for some scenarios, for auditing scenarios. For example, if I want to delete a user account from Azure AD, I can't do that as app only because a user has to be audited on who the person was that deleted that account. If there's an audit that happens later, they can't just say some application deleted it. We don't know who the user was that kicked it off. Some of these things also have to be tracked for back to a specific individual. So there are certain things in the Partner Center SDK that we can do as app only. There are certain things we can only do as user plus app. There are things that can go for each one. We'll talk about the different scenarios there. So for example, this would be like a management app used by partner employees. If they want to go through and manage partners or manage customers, they want to manage users. That's a good scenario for this. The other option is app only. Now this is where an app is going to act on behalf of and independent of a user. So no user involvement is required. They don't need to log in. It must be registered with the Partner Center to use the SDK. And that was the onboarding process we went through earlier in this module. This commonly needs access to the partner's customer Azure AD tenant as well. So there's a process here where you'll see where there's something called pre-consent. We'll look at that a little bit later. That's something that's taken care of for us too by when we onboard it with the Partner Center dashboard. Now, what scenarios do we want to use this for app only? Well, what about a web application that's going to onboard new customers, like a shopping cart? If we want to create orders and resources for customers, that's another case we want to use it. What about scheduled services or daemon jobs? Things that are going to be running overnight, things that will be running on a scheduled service. No users involved, so we want to make sure that we have that set up the right way. Now, app-only apps and Partner Center, let's talk a little bit about that concept. Now, app-only apps must be registered with Partner Center to access the SDK. For example, creating new customers, placing orders, etc. The initial app is going to be created and registered when a partner account is created. So you saw that when I went to my Partner Center dashboard, there was already an app that had been onboarded. I'm typically just going to use this app. I have no need to create a new one, right? If the new app is created, it must be registered with Partner Center using the Partner Center website. So if I do it with Azure AD, I'm going to have to go back to Partner Center and onboard it that way. Or I can create it with Partner Center itself without even having to go to Azure AD. Now, Azure AD apps are not going to, by default, have access to customer tenants. It's going to block the application from creating Azure resources within a customer Azure subscription or doing other things on behalf of that user. The app must first be granted access to a partner's customer's tenant. This is a one-time process. It applies to current and future customers as well. So once I do this, once I go through and I grant this app access to my customers, I don't have to do it every time I create a new customer. It's just done once. And then every customer at that time and future customers for that partner, that app will be registered for them. Really under the covers, what happens is it's just a little flag that's added to the app inside of Azure AD that says he has access to tenants that are essentially child tenants, if you will, of the partner tenant. That's called pre-consent. There's a PowerShell script that you would want to run to actually apply pre-consent. If you onboard your app with Partner Center, with the Partner Center dashboard, you don't have to do that. Now, the last topic we're going to talk about are OAuth flows. Now, these are a flow is considered how do I obtain a token, an OAuth token from Azure AD? How do I authenticate? And there's different ways of doing it. When you think about it, you want to be able to log in with a username and password as like a console app. I give it my username and password and it logs in. Or maybe I have another way of logging in, like say as my web application. It's going to have the user go log in and then come back to the app, and then the app goes and gets a token on the user's behalf. The Partner Center SDK is going to require all the calls to include a Partner Center created access token. Partner Center is going to create the access token only for authenticated and authorized users. So, because Partner Center trusts Azure AD for establishing your identity, and Azure AD returns access tokens, which is essentially proof of identity, I'm going to have to first go log in to Azure AD or authenticate with Azure AD and get a token from them and use that to go to the secured Partner Center endpoint and give them my token to get access. Azure AD supports multiple options for doing this authentication and obtaining access tokens. Each one of these different options or different ways of authenticating, these are called OAuth flows, and each flow is applicable to specific scenarios. Let's look at four different kinds of flows. First one is the resource owner password credentials flow. This is, you would use something like this when you have an app. Let's say in the context of a interactive session, like a console app or a PowerShell interface or something like that. The app is going to authenticate as the user. So you are going to give the app your username and password. Maybe it's stored, maybe it's put in a configuration setting, something like that. It's going to enable app plus user authentication. And again, scenarios are native apps or an interactive session. If you want to see the details on this, this is the RFC, the spec for the resource owner password credential flow in the OAuth2 spec. Let's look at what the flow looks like. So what you see here at the top is I have four different things. I have the app on the far left, and going down the right-hand side, I have three different things that are going to live in Azure AD, right? Or be associated with Azure AD. I have the authorization endpoint. That's where you go log in. I have the token endpoint. That's the thing that's going to give you a token back once you've established your identity. And then I have the partner center endpoint that is the thing I'm actually trying to get to. So first thing I'm going to do is my app is going to bypass the authorization endpoint. The reason for this is that because this flow is that I can pass in a client ID for the app I'm going to be logging in with, the username of the user, the password of the user, and the resource that I want to hit. I'm passing all that stuff in to the token endpoint to getting my access token. And then the Azure AD is then going to give me back an Azure AD token. I'm then going to take that token, and in step three, it's going to send that token back over to Partner Center and say, I need an access token for Partner Center. Partner Center is going to look in the header, it's going to find that Azure AD token that we just got, and it's going to say, I see you're authenticated, let me create a token and hand that back to you, and it hands that back as step four. Step five is then my application doing something with Partner Center, creating a new customer, getting a list of customers, whatever it is. But when it does that, it's using the Partner Center access token that I got back from Partner Center in the last step. Another option is the client credentials flow. Now, this is a flow that you would commonly use for app-only scenarios. No user would be involved. It's going to authenticate with the app as the app with the client ID and secret, but no user context. So it enables app-only authentication, and it's really good for services or daemon apps or apps with no user identity or interaction. You can see there the link to the actual spec of this flow in the OAuth2 specification. How does this one work? Well, like the last one, this one's going to bypass the authorization endpoint. It's going to go pass in the client ID, the client credential, which is just the password. It's going to pass those things in and the endpoint that it's trying to hit. Azure AD is going to log that application in, hand it back an identity token or an access token that you are then going to use in step three to go call the Partner Center endpoint and say, I need a Partner Center valid access token. Partner Center is going to authorize you using your identity that you passed in step three with the token you got in step two, and it's going to create an access token, hand that back to you in step four, and then in step five is your application doing whatever it needs to do with Partner Center, but it's passing across the token you got back in step four. Another option is the authorization code flow. This flow is very secure. You could argue it might even be the most secure. Now, this is one where you would actually have, it would support user plus app authentication. And in this case, essentially what's gonna happen is you're not gonna store any information about the user, and the app's not gonna get any information about the user like their username and password. And generally, this is only gonna be done in a web application, okay? With an interactive session. So, when you log into Office 365 or when you log into Azure, management portals, you're using this flow. The way this works is that you're going to be, when you go to try and hit, like say the Office 365 management portal, or you hit your own custom web app, the web app's going to say, I need you to be logged in because I need to get something from you to go back to Azure to get a token to work with Partner Center. So the way it's going to work is it's going to tell the user, go over to Azure AD and go log in. So the user goes to Azure AD, they log in using their username and password, and Azure AD is going to give them back something called an authorization code. That's why it's called the authorization code flow. That code is going to be given back to the user, and the user is going to be told to redirect back to the application. So that user is then going to go back to the application and give them the code, and then the application can then use that code to call the token endpoint in Azure and say, hey, I got a token from a user that they just logged in with you. here's my app ID and secret. I need a token for my app to act on behalf of this user. And Azure AD is going to say, I've authenticated you as an app in Azure AD because you gave me the username and password for the app or the client ID and secret. And I can tell that you're logging in as a user because this code you just gave me is the code that I just gave that user. So I'll give you an access token in the context of that user. And then now the app can then call Partner Center with that token and say, now I need a token for Partner Center. You get that token back from Partner Center, and now you can go call Partner Center. It sounds a little confusing. If you look at the diagram here, let's take a look at this again to see what the flow looks like. And then we'll move on. So first, the user is going to navigate to my app. So the web application that I've created, let's say it's my shopping cart app. The shopping cart app says you need to be authenticated. So I'm going to redirect you back to sign in and get an authorization code. So the user in step three is going to go to the authorization endpoint and log in. Now, if the user's never used this Azure AD app, when they go to log in, it's passing across the client ID for the app that our app is going to use. If the user has never logged in to use this app, the Azure AD may say, hey, you've never logged in. You've never given this app consent to do stuff on your behalf. So I'm going to prompt you to do that. So give me consent. So it might require their consent. If they'd already consented, then you won't even see this. It's then going to redirect them back over in step four, back to the user. The user is going to give that code right underneath step four, the blue bar between four and five. It's going to hand that back over to the web app. And then the web app is then going to set the session in step five. In step six, it's going to redeem that code back to the token endpoint saying, here's the code, here's the client ID, here's the password for the client for the application, here's the redirect URL, and here's where I'm trying to get to. Azure AD is going to get all that stuff and say, you're logged in as the app because you used the right client ID and secret. You're logging in on behalf of this user because you passed in a valid code that I just gave the user. And I can tell that the user's given access to that resource endpoint. So I will now go through and create an access token for you, and I will redirect the user back over to that step seven, back to the app. And then it's going to then on step eight, you can then say, now use that token, pass that token over to Partner Center. Partner Center is going to authenticate you and say, I can tell who you are. You're valid. Let me give you a token now that you can use for calling Partner Center. That goes back in step seven to the application. And then the application can then use that token from there on out to talk to Partner Center, to get a list of customers, to get a create customers, to get a list of orders and offers and all that stuff. Okay. A little complicated on the flow, but it's actually pretty simple and just kind of moving things around. The nice thing is that all the SDKs make this process incredibly simple for you. I showed you the code already for this. It's really straightforward. Okay. The last step is the implicit flow. And this is really going to be useful when you're using really just user-based authentication or user plus app authentication. But there is user involvement required, and it's going to allow the app to authenticate for the user, but without any kind of specific user context. Now, it is slightly less secure, so I would just reference you to go check out the specification that I have linked there at the bottom. This is really intended for interactive apps or for something like a PowerShell session, or if you're building anything where you're going to be giving, the application needs to authenticate, but you don't want to give the secret to the app away. Like, you don't want to have it, for example, if I'm doing like a single page app style web app, like using a framework like Angular, all the logic is going to happen, all the business logic is going to happen on the client side. So the authentication has to happen client side. Well, I don't want to put my client secret in there. So I'm going to tell the application, go ahead and log in. We're going to trust that this session is completely secured. But again, there are some cautions you need to take a look at and say, well, it's not entirely secure like the other ones are, because if someone could do a man in the middle and get in between the user and the application, that could mess things up. So I just recommend you just go check out the spec there. How does this one work? Well, the user is going to first go request a token from the authorization endpoint. The user, if they're not already authenticated, they will see a pop-up or they'll see something that's going to force them to authenticate. So that's step two. They log in. And then once they log in, the authorization endpoint will return a code back to the application. And just like you saw In the previous one, when we looked at the authorization code flow, then we used the token endpoint to redeem that code to get an access token, use that access token to authenticate with Partner Center to get a token for Partner Center, where we get it back on step 7, and then step 8, we can issue queries to the Partner Center endpoint using the token we got in step 7. Okay? So the point here that I want to do is I want to just make sure that you are aware of all of these different flows. If you take a look at these different flows and you see the different options, let's look at this little table that I have. You see here across the top, I have, what does it support? Does it support app only? Does it support app plus user? Does it require user involvement? And then on the column going down the left-hand side, these are the different flows that I have available to us. Using the resource owner flow, it's only good for user plus app. Okay, it does not require any user involvement because I actually store the username and password in a config value or something like that. Client credentials, that's going to support app only flow. It does not support user plus app, and it only is going to require, it does not require any user involvement. Everything can be automated. And then you see the last two, auth code and implicit, they both support user plus app. They both require user involvement. Implicit is slightly less secure, but it's an option when you don't have the ability to, when you don't want to give the secret to the application itself, which the user could ultimately end up seeing. But the auth code flow, great for like web applications, for like doing like an MVC style web application. All right. So what do we look at in this module? This was the module on looking at authentication with Azure AD. We looked at talking about Azure AD. We talked about Azure AD tenants, how to set up and manage your Azure AD tenant, how to get access to it at the very beginning. We saw how to go through that flow and register it with an Azure subscription. Azure AD applications, we talked about those, we created some. We saw how to onboard with the Partner Center dashboard as well, and how we create web applications using the Partner Center dashboard and onboard native applications. Authentication with Azure AD as well. We take a look at that, how we could go through and authenticate. We talked about single tenant, multi-tenant. We talked about application and delegated permissions. We talked about the two different application types, so user plus app or app only. And finally, we looked at four different authentication app authentication flows here, right? And so in the next module, what we're going to end up doing is we're going to start to look at how we can work with the Partner Center SDK if we already have existing investments with, like, say, the Crest API. So we'll look at that in the next module.